There we go. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. And I just am, it's interesting this morning. I just feel happy. You know, and I do a lot other times as well, but I don't know, it's because we're flying to Cancun tomorrow morning at 3 in the morning. Maybe that has to do with it, with my lovely wife of, how long has it been? 50 plus years. Or, I started this series last week about happiness, joy in the Lord. Or because of the selections of songs this morning that were very special to me and some of my favorite ones, and it just struck something in me. You know, whatever it is, I don't know. But what I do know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but because I've said something different in the past. Just hold on. God wants you to be happy. Now, I've said just the opposite. God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to have, but, you know, I've been thinking about this. Because it's a natural thing to be happy. Or the pursuit of that. It's a natural thing. If in the opposite of not being happy is something that's unpleasant or not good or something you're bothered about or something that's not fulfilled in your life, you know, like you're a baby and you're hungry and mom is not there for you at the moment. But then that little baby gets the taste of mom's milk. And you hear something on some very nice sounds. We call it cooing. I don't know how to do it, but have you ever cooed before the Lord? Have you ever had that kind of satisfaction and completeness that in God you're just, oh. You know, an interesting scripture that I see a pattern in me in recent few years is I have notes. And then this morning as I'm meditating on the notes, all of a sudden there's all these scriptures that start exploding in my head that I don't have in my notes and I didn't plan on talking about. So this morning it happened as well. But I was thinking about the satisfaction that little baby has with his mother and the satisfaction that we have in God how incredible that is when you really feel that satisfaction in Him. Listen to this. I thought of this morning. I lost the spot. There it is. He talks about in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Since you have been born again, verse 23. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So you've been born again. You have a relationship with God. He's done something amazing in your life. He has saved you, and everything changed because of that. I mean, if you have a real salvation and there's a real born-again experience, there's something that absolutely changes in you. And it's even more stark of a change than Chris this morning. I don't know, did you see Chris back there? It's like, who is that guy? He's all shaved. But it's even a greater reality than that, of a change that takes place. And then he goes down and he says this, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Now listen to this. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, let that just explode in your head a little bit. Because what happens to our life when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, is there is this explosion of satisfaction which brings a joy and a happiness in your life. I'll never forget the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. My brother prayed for me, and I'll never forget just feeling so good. I don't know, maybe because my brother, because he was always my hero, or I was just giddy and happy and crying and all that stuff. I just in God, it was an amazing thing. I tasted that the Lord was good. And at 12 years old, I've never come back from that because, man, there's nothing like the taste of God. Doesn't that sound weird? You tell the world that, and they're like, huh? Man, you're a fruitcake. You're nutty. I might be nutty, but I'm nutty in God. I might be crazy, but I'm crazy in God. And I'm crazy in God because I've tasted that the Lord is good. Oh, let me tell you, get a taste. Everything will change. Things will happen that are different. I remember years ago, I don't know what happened in this church, not this one, but Will and I visited a place in Texas, and we went to a service on a weeknight. It had to do with our school that we had here. And we went into that service, and we were singing some great hymns that blessed me. And I was looking around, and I turned to Will, and I said, my gosh, these people are depressed. Maybe they thought they were holy and being depressed. Maybe they thought that was a righteousness, that you need to be sad in God. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they had some bad news. I don't know what was happening, but all of them, it was like they were. And I kind of wondered at the time, and I could be totally wrong, that they were trying and working so hard, and they were working hard, but it wasn't in God. It was in their own efforts. And let me tell you, that's how you burn out in ministry. That's how you get messed up, is you try to do things in your own effort. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. Oh, let me say it anyway. You don't stay in a church for 40 years in your own efforts. You just don't do it. And unless you, I don't know why you would stay. Unless something of God has taken place and you genuinely love people. Now, if I'm bragging, okay, give me some room. I'm not perfect. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? And then I thought of another scripture. This is not on your notes, so this is the introduction. You know, I do that. I give you a 30-minute introduction, 10-minute sermon. It's terrible. And I'm going to have this on the screen for you, and it's in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Yeah, that's not quite it, but did Andrew go to the bathroom or something? He did. Okay, well, you got to believe me. I'm going to read it. You won't see. Oh, it's up there? Okay. I make myself laugh. For my people have committed two evils. Okay, what's evil? What is evil? He says they've committed two evils. What is evil? What do you think is evil? What do you think is like the worst kind of evil? Listen to what God says. It's because it's so different in our own thinking than what God views, because he says, my people have committed two evils, and he calls these things evil. They have forsaken me. That's evil. That's evil. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. You know, water satisfies. Water quenches your thirst. And so what he's saying is, I'm the one who quenches thirst, but they have forsaken me and the living water that quenches their thirst. They're evil for this. And then he says, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. A cistern is like a pot, and they would have to put water in it, you know, because it was a kind of a dry land, unless they lived on somewhere where there's water all the time. They had to put them in pots, and they would, you know, have a well, and they'd put it in pots. Well, he says, okay, they have these pots that have holes in them, and it doesn't hold the water. They're evil because they have left me the living water, and they have tried to get their own water, and they've had these pots to fill up to be satisfied with something else besides the fountain that I give of the living water. And these pots don't satisfy, they drain out. Now, isn't that life? When you try to find anything outside of God to find your happiness, your joy, fulfillment, or satisfaction, when you try to fill it up with anything, it's like cisterns. It's like these pots. A little joy in the, it's gone. A little happiness, it's gone. And that's what he says to his people. And he calls it evil. And maybe he might be saying that to us. Are we trying to find other things outside of God for our happiness? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Do you have a joy that's in God? You have a joy that's in Him that is beautiful and wonderful? Or do you find yourself looking for something to fulfill yourself because you're unhappy in so many areas and you're not satisfied? Those things will never satisfy. I wish I could remember John Piper's saying. He said, to glorify God, the best way to glorify God is to be totally satisfied in Him. If you are totally satisfied in God, that's the greatest glory you can give Him. You know, the Bible talks about God's people again who would worship Him, and we would say, oh, I'm glorifying Him. But he says, your heart is far from me. And let me go back to the pots. You have other pots. Your mind, your heart is other places. It's on other things. It's thinking about yourself, fulfilling yourself, instead of on God that He satisfies totally. And He brings a joy unspeakable that is full of glory. An amazing, amazing thing. This is God. Okay, now let me go to my notes. Look at that first scripture that we had last week. And I'm just going to read verse 4 there in Psalms 43. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. To God my exceeding joy. To God my exceeding, my overflowing joy. What makes you happy? You got to think about this. And I want to use that term happy because literally I believe that God wants us to enjoy things in this world, and we can only enjoy those things in this world to the fullest if He is the center and the satisfaction of everything. I have grown up. Now, my wife and I, 50 years, you know, and we celebrated that milestone, such a milestone. You have to be living with me that long, you know. But as time has gone on, in our early relationship, it was a different kind of thing. I was driven for God. And I wanted to serve Him, and she needed to just jump on boat with me and let's go. And you know, it was kind of about submit woman, because we're going with God. And I made some bad decisions that I felt was God, but I didn't include her, and it created all kinds of problems, because we're supposed to be one and make decisions together. When we first started, I didn't have that, because you see, I'm the man. Yeah, I knew I'd get some type of reaction on that. But something happened. As my life has gone deeper in God and a greater joy in God, it has translated into a greater appreciation for my wife. And it's interesting how that works. Because God has given her to me and me to her, and there ought to be such a deep appreciation. But the problem, and why there's not, is because we have these cisterns, we have these pots that have holes in them, and we're trying to find something else in them that maybe they don't have, and those things we're supposed to find in God. Because it is God who fully satisfies. And so to the degree that I have my satisfaction in God, to that degree, I have a greater joy for my wife. So let me say this. If you don't have joy with your spouse and happiness with your spouse, you need to get saved. Or you need to get a deeper well in God, and you need to break up those cisterns that you have, those pots of clay that has holes in them that you have in your life. Try to satisfy yourself when those things don't satisfy. I mean, what do you want out of your wife or your husband that doesn't satisfy? Well, one word comes to mind, but I am not going to say it. Because I have to get up early tomorrow morning, and I don't want to wake up way early. I shouldn't have said sex. Oh, duh. And that's one thing for a man, you know, that's like he's driven, find satisfaction. Why did I do that? But when God is your exceeding joy, it makes everything else incredible and wonderful. I'm not talking about sin. Sin, and that was the pots that have holes in them, trying to find things that satisfy, or even legitimate things to try to fulfill your needs and your wants and your happiness. It never does. There's always something that you want more. It doesn't satisfy. I remember as a young man, maybe early 30s, I'm thinking as a preacher, as a young man, I was thinking, if I just get to my 40s, I will have more respect from the people because I'm older, and maybe I'm starting to get a little gray hair. And you know what happened when I turned 40? Nothing changed. What I was looking for was pots that had holes in it. Instead of being satisfied in God, what God wants, and living for Him. You know, it's amazing what we've done to the good news. You know what I mean about the good news of the gospel? It's amazing what we've done to that. It's amazing how the people go to church because they feel compelled to by other people, and they feel like they have to. They feel like, it's the Bible thing to do, and that's true. But no wonder people, as time goes on, that they quit going altogether. Because they don't have something inside of them that is a fountain of living water that is gushing out of them, and then as it's gushing out of them, they have an appreciation for people, and you just hardly wait to get with them. I miss, Ray, where's Ray? I miss Thursday. And I didn't want to, but I had something I had to do. And I miss being with you guys. Why? Because I love them. I love being with them. I love to hear Rick tell me some historical things that makes me hysterical. I just love people. The exceeding joy in God. Are you happy in God? Are you happy in God? I mean, are you thrilled with Jesus Christ? Now, you would say yes, but okay, if you really are, if he's really that fountain of eternal life that is flowing through you, how does it come out? Are you trying to find happiness in other ways and satisfactions in other ways? And satisfaction is a huge thing. Discontentment ruins relationship, ruins marriages. Discontentment ruins your financial picture. It just ruins all that because you got to have more and more and more and more. But there's just something about a contentment, a satisfaction in God. Down at the bottom of your notes there on the left-hand side, it's question, and it says the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I don't know if you've ever read any of that. And it says, what is the chief end of man? Why are we here? Why do we exist? And it gives this. A man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I can remember as a young man reading that. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But I read it now as, oh my gosh. You can't separate the two. To glorify God and enjoy him. Your greatest glory to God is that you enjoy and are satisfied and contented with God in your life. He is the one that satisfies everything in you. You want to glorify God? Don't kid yourself. You glorify God because you're content and satisfied and enjoying him. Look at these two parables that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God on the right side of your notes. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy the field. Did you catch that term there? The joy. You know, I mean, and Jesus takes like this thing that really drives people. Wealth, a treasure. And he says he finds a treasure and he sells everything and buys this field so he can have the treasure. And of course, the treasure is God, is Jesus. The treasure is his kingdom. The treasure is living in him and having a joy in him. And what it says, what's the term that he uses? He says, then in his joy, he sells everything. Now he's talking about the relationship with God. In his joy, he sells everything. You know, the early church, they literally did that. Now, I don't know that you need to literally do that, but what if God told you to literally do that? Oh, no, he'd never tell me that. Well, at least you would never hear him tell you that, do that, right? You would never hear him tell you to go sell your house and your land and to give it to the poor. You would never hear that because you don't believe he would ever do that. But that's what the picture that Jesus gives us. And with joy, he sells everything. Because he sees how great the treasure is. I just got to be honest with you. Why do we have such a hard time to read the Bible? Why do we have a hard time praying? Because we don't see this as such a great treasure. We see these pots that have holes in them as great treasures. And those are the things that are we're trying to find satisfaction in and contentment and joy in. And I got to tell you, there's times that I have known and experienced that joy in God. And I really would like that to be in everything in my life, and it's not. It's not. But I know from time to time that such that fulfillment and satisfaction. I know those things that are so incredible with God. The other parable, the parable of the great, the pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. The same thing. Willing to give up everything for this, for the sake of God. For the sake, because you see the value and the greatness, and you have such joy in it, it satisfies you. Look at the next scripture I have there for you. Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, immediately, gloom and doom. Deny. Cross. And that's as far as people get a lot of times in their Christian experience. I just got to deny myself. I just got to read the Bible more. If I just pray more, I know that my husband will get better or my wife will get better. I know if I just read the Bible more, everything will be better. I know, and just kind of miss what this is all about and why you read the Bible and why you pray. Because it creates faith in you and satisfaction in you and contentment in you in Jesus Christ. It's not fulfilling some type of legalistic thing. That's why I don't even like the idea of, read your five chapters a week or a day, and I don't even like that. Nothing wrong with it, but I don't like it. I like to get on something and just think about Jesus and memorize a scripture and meditate on that and let it begin to soak in and affect me. Because it's not about how much you know. It's about who you know and how your faith is increased and your trust and your confidence in Him. Where He becomes everything to you. He becomes the satisfaction of your life. The contentment of your life. So let me read that again. Because a lot of times we'll use that when we talk to somebody who's in sin, and we'll tell them, you need to deny yourself. And you need to take up your cross. And you need to follow Jesus Christ. And we're giving them the what for. It's kind of a negative thing. But listen to what it's all about. The next verse, he says, for whoever saves his life, whoever saves his life, not save a salvation, but save protecting yourself. That's what that word means, protecting yourself from evil, protecting yourself from things. You don't want certain things to happen. You want to seek happiness. You want happiness in your life. And so you go to these bowls that have holes in them. But listen to what he says. For whoever saves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you get what he's saying there? You really want life? You really want satisfaction? You really want happiness? You really want these things? Do you really want them? It's in God. And so you deny yourself these bowls that have holes in them so that you can get the real goods. And you lose your selfishness so you can have the real goods and you'll really find what life is all about. You'll have the joy, you'll have a happiness, you'll have a fulfillment, a satisfaction like you've never experienced in your life because of Jesus Christ. He's the one that satisfies. Okay. When you have the joy of the Lord, it affects you in many, many different ways. When he's the one that satisfies, it affects you in ways of your life. And I'm going to just talk about two different ways that it affects you, the joy of the Lord. And it's the scriptures. The first one in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I prayed. Three times I asked, where's God? Three times, no, he's not saying that. I'm throwing in how we would do it. Three times I asked God and he didn't do anything. I just don't know if I believe in God. It just doesn't work. I have tried praying and it just doesn't work. Now, Paul prays, but you see, there was something else working in him. He already had the satisfaction in God, but he didn't like what had happened, what was happening in his life. And whatever it was, whatever, let me throw this word out, whatever disability it was, whatever handicap or problem or issue in his life, whatever it was, he wasn't happy, was causing some problems there. And he didn't like it. And it was a real thing. And even Paul uses a messenger from Satan. We don't know what that this thing was, but it was a real powerful thing that was affecting him. So he prays, and three times I plead with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly. You see, that's a sign that Jesus was his satisfaction. He did not like what was going on, and so he sought the Lord to take this thing away. He didn't think it was a good thing. He thought it was a bad thing, and so he sought the Lord, and God says, no, I'm just going to leave it there. And then he realized what for, because God didn't want to become conceited and proud, and God had to work in his life concerning that. And so when he comes to the realization that God says no, then he accepts whatever it is, and he does it gladly. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. What's that gal's name? Ray, you told me, we talked about her. Eric, Joni. She's a quadriplegic. Johnny Erickson. Or Joni. Joni. Tomato, tomato. Johnny Erickson, why did that happen to her? It just doesn't seem fair. Now, that's how we would look at things, but she struggled, but she got a touch in God. And her thing, didn't she use like a mouth thing to draw and stuff? I mean, it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And you know what sustains her, she said? Singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord because she has a joy in the Lord. She has a joy in the Lord. We complain about such minor little things, and we have a chip on our shoulder, and we carry on. Oh, man, find a contentment in Jesus Christ. Find Jesus in your life and allow him to work in you in an incredible way, that he'll bring a great satisfaction. But along with the satisfaction is a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And happiness. A happiness. Not that you're going to go around at every trial, because we got a lot of growing up to do. I mean, what was wrong with James? Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials. I'm not there. I am just not there. I think that'll throw James out and take it out of the Bible. There's some who have said that. I could tell you names in history of America, presidents. There's some who have said that because they don't get that part of it. What if? What if we tasted and saw that the Lord was good, and then we kept feasting on him? Jesus said, unless a man or a woman eats my flesh and drinks my blood, feasting on him, enjoying him, being satisfied in him, content in him. So the joy of the Lord changes your perspective on problems in your life and hardships and trials. The joy of the Lord does that when he becomes the one who's satisfied. Paul, I gladly allow this thing or continue in this thing in the Lord. That I rejoice in my weaknesses, that his power and his strength will be evident to others. Another point that I wanted to share with you, the joy of the Lord and how it will change your perspective on things. The joy of the Lord, how it will change your perspective about money. Let's look on the left side there, encouragement to give generously. That was in the Bible that I have. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, now listen, the Macedonians were extremely poor, like most of the world today. Not us, but like most of the world. Extremely poor. They had all kinds of issues. There were troubles that have come their way, persecutions. And he says, for in severe tests of afflictions, now look at it, listen to this, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. I'm sorry. These are tears of joy, I'm telling you. Their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. Their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. Okay, when you have abundance of joy and you're in extreme poverty, this is what happens. Unless, of course, you have bowls that you find your joy in, your pot of money that you get paid monthly, and you're holding it here, but those have holes in it. And you use it all to yourself, to satisfy yourself. And it doesn't bring a satisfaction to you because you can hardly wait to get paid again because you've used up all that you have for yourself. Oh, this gets me. Their abundance of joy. Joy in what? They didn't have any money. Joy in Jesus. Satisfaction in Jesus. They have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they had the right relationship with Him. Let me tell you, they tasted and saw that the Lord was good. Oh, so good. And in this abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed. The poverty and this, and a wealth of generosity. Now, why? Why would extreme poverty bring a wealth of generosity? Because he says the joy of the Lord and the poverty brought this generosity. How the poverty, a joy of the Lord, I understand, but he says poverty. Oh, Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. And they knew what God had given them in the relationship with God and the satisfaction. And they had so very little, but they wanted to give because it's better to give than to receive. You know, you see it, Pam and I passed this guy begging for money just a couple days ago. Wherever you go, you see that, and we didn't give him anything. Not because I don't have something to give, we just didn't stop and do it. And we would say, well, they're just lying. You know, they put, hey, I just need food. And we would say they're lying. Or they would say, my daughter needs food. Well, they're just lying. That's what we tell ourselves. But then there's an honest guy. Do you give him money? Well, he says, I just want a beer. He's honest. Do you give him something? No. Oh, when you go to heaven, I can hear Jesus now. Wow, I can't believe how you discerned who needed money and who didn't. You were so shrewd with your money. Do you think he's going to say that to you or to me? No, he'll say something like, hey, that happened to have been an angel that I put there, and you didn't feed him and you didn't clothe him because you don't care about anyone but yourself, and you have had in your life these bowls that you try to satisfy yourself and keep for yourself. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. The joy of giving. Wow. That church had nothing, but they had everything. They had nothing of this world, but they had everything. Hey, Paul. Hey, when you come by, we got some potatoes in our garden, and we can give half of them up to take to Jerusalem. Paul, we just got a crop of tomatoes, and we don't need all of them. We got 10, we only need 2. Take it, Paul. You know, I have not arrived by any means. It makes me wonder if this pot that I have of Cancun. On the other hand, how about if I have living water and I'm totally satisfied in Jesus? And when I sit down at a dinner table, it just bubbles so much that I got to tell someone about Jesus sitting in with all those sinners. What an opportunity! What a joy! Am I talking foolish to you? Is this the truth that is in Jesus Christ? Oh, man, Jason, it's late. I'm thinking, come on up real quick. And do you have a good one? It's all right. After this sermon, it's just all right.
Well, that's hard to follow.
It's hard to follow, okay. I have a song. Oh, I wish I could just play it. Hey, do you have YouTube on that? Let's break the law just shortly. Bring YouTube up there and find to where we're going to play this, so forget it. But I want you to play the old, what is it, the old time church?
Old church choir.
Got it in my heart, the old church choir. Huh? In my soul. A different Greek word, apparently. I know. Let me tell you, Lily, we talk about the Lord. We sing all the time. Lily and I, we discuss things. We just have a great time. Well, Lily, I said, hey, you got a song that you sing? She said, yeah, Papa, I know this song. And she started singing this song. And I said, oh, pull it up on my phone on the YouTube. And so she pulled it up, and we sang, and it just brought joy to me. I told Jason, hey, we need to learn this song. And Jason boo-hooed it because it's, yeah. Discouraged me terribly because I put too much faith in him. And do you have it? Okay, let's play it. I love
the Polaris factory authorized clearance.
Makes you want to dance. Amen. Oh, and now that's fun, huh? And why not?
Amen.
Why do you have to go somewhere else to find fun that doesn't satisfy but in Jesus? Anyway, you're dismissed. Have a great week. God bless you. Greet one another before you go.